Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Isn't this exciting?
This is very exciting. Answer to prayer, encouraging, the conversation has started.
Right.
And that's good.
Yes. Well, we're talking about a conversation about, you know, the Lord's called us as the church. I want to welcome our audience around the nation, around the world, and on the Gulf Coast in the glory zone. Mm. That God has called us to go to the nations, and the nations, the word comes from ethnos, and commanded us to go into all, to preach the gospels to all ethnos, to all races, to all nations. And out of those encounters, some believe. And those that believe, we all gathered up, we're the church. Mm-hmm. And in that, we have a lot of different races then inside the church. But we're really, we're a new nation, we're a new ethnos. Once we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, he says that you are a new nation, a royal priesthood. And so, you know, coming together. And so our greatest witness to the world, is our unity. And, you know, I've shown up at a lot of unity meetings, and there's just a whole bunch of the same kind of people at those meetings, you know, with one or two, you know, people that was invited over, like, okay, I'll come, you know, or they had to be the speaker, had to pay them to come. Anyway, in our earlier program, you had to catch it, talking about this, you know, help us, God, get past our history, deliver us, you know, from any captivity of our own thoughts, and empower us to obey you and to enjoy the body of Christ, the whole body of Christ, and heal us, you know, where we've been wounded and we've been hurt, that we will not operate out of wounds. And so this whole journey that God had been taking me on, that I started talking about in our previous program, I'm going to continue talking about it, because it's so exciting, because this Sunday, a big, huge answer to prayer, to that cry of my heart, took place. And in January, before our leadership gathering, I almost didn't even talk about it, because everybody I talked about it with, I mean, everybody of all races prior to that point just seemed like, you know, I was crazy. I'm like, no, it's real. It's really real. And if you're the one being oppressed, and you're the one, you know, not getting a job, and you're the one who's living out this injustice, and you're the one, when you show up to your church and you have no issues in your heart with race, but because of your certain race, they won't even let you in the church. They ask you, you know, what do you do? What do they ask you?
No one. Exactly.
Said, what are you doing in this coat room? Like, I'm your brother.
Don't,
remember?
You know me?
I was the doctor. I've seen people. This is the mindset. This is a racist mindset, where the person is about to get operated on, and somebody, for example, a Caucasian white person is about to get operated on, and an Indian doctor comes in the room, and other than gratitude and thank you, they start questioning the qualifications of this particular doctor. And the only way that that could be is you wouldn't have questioned this other doctor.
Sure.
Is it based on you don't believe somebody different than your race knows something? It's like, you haven't been to India. They're much smarter than we are.
No, that's right.
That's where all of our stuff comes from. Anyway, so understanding that we're called to go, and the nations are beautiful. You have to understand that it's boring and bland when it's just you. But when you bring all of us together and allow for the diversity in our worship, and allow for the diversity in our expression, each other, I mean, it's just a beautiful type thing. So we got our leaders together at the beginning of this year, and I began to share my heart, what God laid on my heart, about the history of America, and that this particular issue has to be dealt with before there can be a release in the Gulf Coast area, that God wants to release what he wants to release. And at the same time this leadership meeting was going on, which God just showed up powerfully. I mean, the hand of God appeared. You got to see this in our previous program. You can see it on the torch.
In the stars.
And Fox News reported it while we were meeting, you just got to go back. I mean, it was amazing how God confirmed. This is the hand of God.
No doubt.
And so, and it's for everybody who wants, God loves everybody. So it's not, it's just, you know, get in, find out what God's doing to get in. And so, but racism is an evil spirit. It's evil. It's just outright evil. When in the church, now the world is, the world's the world. I mean, we're not talking about the world at all. You know, that's probably the least of your issues, really, right? Then we're talking about the church itself, the people who identify with themselves with the church. You know, we're speaking to, you know, a pastor who, you know, made this statement that when he began to you know, preach at this particular church, and it's the church happens to be, you know, painted white, right? Mm. Painted white. And so he's, you know, he's just a biblically based love of God, you know, preaching truth preacher. And so he just starts preaching the truth. Well, they were shocked. Some of them were shocked that he was preaching the whole truth, I guess. Mm. And so he brings in African-American children into his, to the church and begin to, you know, speak in their lives or whatever. And he gets pulled aside by one of the deacons and it says, you know, we're not called the little white church on the corner for nothing. Mm. This is my question. First of all, Jesus is not white. Secondly, is if the scriptures say, if you don't love your brother who you can see, you are a liar if you say you love God. So how we feel towards other people reveals how we feel towards God. And people say that can't be true because I go to church. Look, the fact that Islam exists proves you can be very religious. The fact that the Pharisees were looking at Jesus and they called Jesus Satan. I mean, you can be, it's your love is what you're identified by. Do you love people? Do you love your brothers? And so this is a great, wonderful opportunity. If you're hearing this and you're thinking, well, I don't like that. You say, well, understand this. That you're hearing it before the judgment seat of Christ. You're hearing it before the judgment seat of Christ. You're hearing the fact that when I stand before God, I'm not going to be one of those folks that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 7 who did all this religious stuff in this ministry, but he's going to say, I never knew you. And we're identified by our love. He says, a new commandment I give you, love each other. By this, you'll be identified as my disciples if you love each other. Love is patient, kind. I mean, and it's all of us. Go to all the races, the ethnos, the nations, and tell them this good news. Mm. And those that believe, baptize them, and then fellowship with them, and eat with them, and pray for them. And then you live your life together, all together. And so, but, you know, I'm excited about, we're going to have some great guests coming on to be able to give more depth to this conversation, but just telling you our experience. And so we began to cry out for this and just said, okay, God, we saw the history, you know, you can hear about in the last program, we talked about it and God confirmed it big time at our gathering. We'll make all those resources available to you on this and all these, this conversation that we're going to have. And so, you know, with it, you know, God, I went to go, God just called me on a sabbatical. And a sabbatical is basically, I'm just going to take some time, pause, hear God, hear what he has to say, and just listen. And when on the way to this place, and I'm not going to go into depth because we got a whole program I did on this. I believe that you can relate to this. Well, as I'm going, the Lord spoke to me. They tell me they're going to have me in a place, in the number of the place I was going to be at was 1906. Immediately, since they told me that number, the Lord speaks to me and says, that's the year of Azusa Street. I'm out of the middle of nowhere, right? And I'm like, well, actually, I'm Googling it to find out that year, you know, and it is. That was the year of Azusa Street, and you know, just that was very encouraging because I was, you know, God, what's the direction? What are you going to do? And so when I get there, I'm just kind of stirred over, you know. We've already talked about when we came back, we began to talk about Azusa Street. And all the things, and one of the unique things about Azusa Street, and Azusa Street Move of God Revival was based by an African-American man who just cried out for God, Charles Seymour, and God began to move. But the uniqueness of the people and how things were there, it was multiracial, and all genders were present, and you could not, there had to be total unity in that whole mindset. And God touched the world in 1906 with this. Yes. So truly,
it was William Seymour.
William Seymour. I'm sorry, Charles Seymour. Yeah, William Seymour. And so, you know, with that, so God's began to start. You know, we gotta have this. If we want what God does, and that's one thing that Oral Roberts was known for, that he would not have segregation in any of his meetings. Mm-hmm. Everybody had to be together. I think that's the thing. Same thing that Billy Graham was known for. Yeah. And you notice that the ones that God's moving, where he moves, is people who understand we're all the same.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You cannot expect a move of God to be a part of an outpouring, and in your heart, you hate the very people that God's wanting to reach that outpouring. It's just, why move?
Hello, what are you doing?
Yeah. What are you doing? They show up, right?
Yeah, hello.
And so
praying for the harvest, just not that harvest, right?
Yeah, right. That's exactly what.
Wow.
I got to keep my train of thought. This program will go so fast. So here we are. I'm on this sabbatical, right? And God tells me that it's Azusa Street. This is the year of Azusa Street. And all communication is pretty much cut off during that time. And I get a phone call of all the things from a friend of mine who is with a South African pastor. And we began to talk because, of course, William Seymour was African American, which means God, the move of God that he had for America came from an African American. And so I am listening to what this pastor from South Africa is talking about. And out of the middle of nowhere, I'm not telling him anything. He says, what America needs is a second Azusa Street. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what? You know what? You can find out more. We'll make a related thing. Mm-hmm. You can hear him actually saying it. And so, but also in this, because we're talking about a panel, Ansel Prayer, that just took place on the Gulf Coast, in the city of Pensacola, about having this conversation about what people just don't want to talk about. It began, and the answer to this prayer began this Sunday. And and on that panel, two of the members on that panel are, I had two times of prayer and sabbatical in 2014, and both times the Lord spoke to me about one each time.
Right.
And so, I mean, it's just huge, you know, what God's doing. And so when we come back, we begin to talk about what is the unique aspects of Azusa Street. It's racial. It's all of us coming together, all the races coming together. It's women and men coming together. There is no... everybody gender, right? Is equal, and then God just begins to move powerfully. So a glories on outpouring is going to say, we're going to have to get together. And with that, we got to begin to have the conversation. And so this conversation I've been trying to have, been meeting with people, and I said, will you show up? If we have this conversation, will you show up? Will you show up? And most people didn't return my phone call, stopped texting me back. Mm-hmm. You know, I was missing you. I'm like, what's going on? You know, what's happening? So then here we are coming up, and God sends Apostle Isaiah from Nigeria, Africa, and begins to confirm that the very same word, that God is going to be pouring out his glory on the Gulf Coast. This is so exciting. We get back, we're going to begin to talk about this conversation that began a seabed, I believe, for healing, and we're just going to believe God's going to just touch it. And just grace us to be able to get through this, and all of us are going to get to enjoy what God wants to do. We want to go back into this conversation about race in the church. And I thought that's a great video that was done that began the conversation. They say the most segregated moment in America, meaning that where all the races come together and are separate from each other, is not that one. And is on Sunday morning. I mean, think about it. We live our lives together. We work together. We play together. We do sports together. But for some reason, when it comes time to God himself who created us all, it's just separate. Like I said before in the earlier program, you know, my life, when I live my life, I mean, I was just had no, I, that wasn't my, my, I didn't think that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so all my friends are all different colors. It just, that wasn't the part of the whole thing. But when I gave my life to the Lord and became a Christian, that's when I began to look at, like, we're all one color in this place. And then I go to another one. They're all one color in one place. Like, then they start identifying churches by race. Mm-hmm. They would go, that's a white church, and that's a black church, and that's a Hispanic church, and that's a an Asian church. Like, what happened? How did we get all divided up? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, if I go see my friends, I have to go to a Promise Keepers meeting or something to go see my friends.
Right.
And it's like, well, that's, we need to move beyond that, you know, for what God wants to do. As a matter of fact, take a look at this. This video does a real good job.
I remember as though it was yesterday, a young man in college trying to find my way and had this growing relationship with God. And the great thing about college is that, and staying in the dorms, I had all these different types of roommate, an eclectic group of people that I got to hang out with, and I would attend church with almost every single one of them. And I got to attend from the church in rural Oklahoma to the traditional Baptist church, to the black church, to the charismatic church. And so I'd go to all these different churches. I remember one Sunday morning, I was going to the black church, and so I needed to get my shoe shine because I needed to be sharp and clean. And so I went to the shoe shine man. I'm kind of telling him about this journey to find a church. And he started telling about his church. And the more he told me, the more intrigued I became. And so finally, I just asked him the question. I said, is your church a black church or a white church? He looked up at me and said, young man, that's the stupidest question you can ever ask. It's not a black church. It's not a white church. It's God's church.
The 11 o'clock on Sunday morning is one of the most segregated hours, if not the most segregated hours in Christian America.
That's amazing how that just kind of explains it, doesn't
it? Yes, yes. It's not a black church. It's not a white church. It's God's church. It's God's church.
Right, right. And so that alone is a picture of, like, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why would we even allow that? And like, these kids didn't have any issues. It's like, you're looking at them missing their friends. Imagine what Jesus is doing. And when he's looking at us like that, when mm-hmm. we're separating ourselves, and it's like, how do we come together? I think the biggest thing to do is to give up our own kingdoms.
Yeah.
You know, fighting for our way.
Mm-hmm.
And just be willing. Isn't it worth giving up everything for God? I mean, when did God say in his word? He never says go plant a church. He says, go make disciples, and when people will go preach the gospel to all nations and to races, and when we do that, when they become a believer, then you disciple them. He says, go make disciples, and then that is the church, the mm-hmm. people, that is the church.
So
if we went to all nations, all races, all ethnic groups, and we preach the gospel, we're going to have some from every race there, mm-hmm. and so that actually, that's what the church looks like. The thing about it, we don't all think alike. We don't all necessarily eat the same foods. We have a different rhythm maybe to our music. But when we're together, we allow for all those things, yeah. you know, to happen.
Yeah. And if we don't work on this now, we're going to be awfully surprised when we go to heaven and realize, oh, people are not going to be like us here.
Right.
I mean, they're from every tribe, every tongue, every nation.
Right, right, right. And so understanding that I remember if race never crosses your mind in America is because probably that you're of the dominant race mm-hmm. and everything kind of goes your way.
That's right.
But if you've gone through journeys and things have happened to you, I mean, even I remember, John, remember even the logo for Promise Keepers?
Yes.
It was that logo yeah. that had all the different color hands. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
It was so powerful because, you know, the first time I'm being introduced into the body of Christ, I was a young believer. And I remember going to a Promise Keepers conference. I believe it was actually in Birmingham. I've been to several. And I noticed that they had a sign and a logo, really a banner huge up front. And I noticed that it was different shades. It was a white man, looked like a darker black man maybe, and then also a tan man. And I thought, wow, they went to the extra effort to make sure that they were inclusive of all the races. Because many times this conversation, sometimes leads to a black and white issue when really we have a whole melting pot in our nation. Yeah, and so we need to be inclusive of everybody. We can begin the conversation. I think it's appropriate to talk about the injustices that have occurred. But then also, if we want to really thoroughly go and deal with this issue, I think we do. We don't want to wait another 50 years. Let's talk about everybody so we can get healed and move forward.
Well, it really reveals that there's an issue.
Oh, absolutely.
If all we talk about is our race and one other race, that means in your DNA and for where you're coming from, there was some sort of, that was an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're talking about what God's saying and not you, you're talking about the scripture says, it's all nations. It's all. So we're trying to speak out and reach all nations. And sometimes maybe there is obviously larger issues with one situation over another. But in understanding that God wants us to be able to be open for whoever he wants to save and disciple whoever that is. And the whole thing is that what Jesus asks of us is to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him. So, what we feel, and everything does not wrap around us and our identity. We wrap around Jesus Christ and his identity. He makes the two one at the cross. And so we begin to preach the gospel again. And I love what, one of the panelists, Pastor Greg Burns of New Dimension Christian Center, was on that panel in Pensacola, and that began this Sunday talking about it. Great wisdom. But it's the Spirit of God. It's the glory of God. And Jesus never even tells us to go make unity.
Mm-hmm.
What he says is that we unify around the glory of God. The glory of God unifies us. So when God's Spirit's present, he talks about this in John chapter 17, that's what brings unity. Unity's hard and difficult or twisted when we do it any other way. I mean, think about marriage. When you try to do marriage the world's way, but proclaim that you're following God, you just have a storm going on. Mm. But when you say, we're just going to move this marriage into God's way of having marriage and ask God's kingdom to come into our marriage and his word and his ways and his presence, and all of a sudden, it's able to have unity in that marriage there. And that's the body of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. And God wants us to be able to get along. In this conversation that we're talking about, as you saw that video earlier, that how do we get past this segregated moment in church? Well, obviously, we got to begin to have legitimate conversation. And I love, we'll have this on our next program because we want to have, what Pastor Greg Burns said. He's talking about the progression to that. And you can't just put people together. Can you imagine that, you have somebody that you never communicated with, you never talked with, you never had any relationship with. I'm talking about a race, just any same race. And somebody just puts you together. That's what happened with integration, that we didn't have any relationships at all. And it was just terrible things that were going on. That's not the answer. The answer is first, acknowledgement of what's going on. Reconciliation has to take place, but there has to be a reason talked about first why we need to reconcile, then this whole progression happens, and next thing you have the progression of celebration that he talks about. Right. We'll have that in a future program because some great things that were said and some great wisdom nuggets. But so here we are on this journey, and it's like this Azusa Street. What is it unique about? And all of America and the world was touched. And remember when Apostle Isaiah came and he's on VFN TV and he's talking about what God showed him about the Gulf Coast. He's moving to Gulf Coast. Reports are, I haven't verified it yet. I have to talk to some folks, but more people are beginning to move to the Gulf Coast for what God's about to do. Harvesters are moving to the Gulf Coast. And I thought was pretty interesting is what you were sharing with me about Rick Joyner, right?
Yes. Rick Joyner, actually, this Sunday, shared a message.
The same Sunday we're having the conversation.
Same Sunday. At his fellowship in
Morningstar. Pearl Harbor Day, by the way. That was Harbor Day of all the days for that conversation to begin.
Wow.
Because that's the thing that the this is what the thing is Lord's laying on our heart if we don't listen to God, it's going to be rough. We got some things coming.
Yeah.
And Pearl Harbor caught America by surprise and brought us into World War II. And the fact that it's happened on Pearl Harbor Day, I already believe the Lord is just saying, if you listen to me, if you do what I'm asking of you, if you hear my voice and we repent, you know what I'm saying? From what he's saying, then he'll heal our land and he can change this.
That's right.
But yeah, it was Pearl Harbor Day.
Wow.
That began. So
wow. Well, on the same day, Rick Joyner's addressing his fellowship, Morningstar Ministries, there, Morningstar Church. And he's talking about healing in the land, and he starts talking about some of the injustices that have been done to African Americans and other races, the First Nation people, Hispanics. But one of the things that he talked about, which I thought was really amazing, he said those who are most wounded have the opportunity to bring the greatest healing. And I want you to listen to what he has to say, because it's really powerful. Well, watch this.
We have a deeply wounded people group who I think have been sent here to us to bring healing to our land. The ones who were wounded the worst are going to bring the greatest healing. I'm talking about the black, the Africans. And you wait and see. Wait and see. But let's think about, why are they so wounded? I don't think as white Caucasians, we could probably even fully grasp this, but let's try. Think about living in a situation where any day with no warning, your children could be sold off and you'd never see them again. And your husband or your wife, guess what? This was not only done, it was a strategy of slave owners formulated in what was called the Jamestown Letter, sent to all the slave owners back when we were colonies, before the Revolutionary War. This is how you can keep your slaves under subjection, keep their families broken up. As soon as you see them bonding, sell the father. Sell the children. Keep them broken up so their only allegiance, their only security is in the slave owner. This was a literal strategy written out in what was called the Jamestown Letter. And I hear pundits today saying, well, you know, the real problem in the inner city is fathers not being at home. Very few of these families have fathers at home. That reveals this wound has never been healed. Fathers, what happened to their slaves? They couldn't even give their hearts to their wives or their children because they knew they were about to be sold or them. So, you know, they were going to be split up. They didn't have, so the relationships were all messed up. This is a wound that still exists. I hear other pundits saying, well, if they just had some ambition, just took some initiative, this is a free country, you can make it. What do you think slavery did to their work ethic? I submit to you, I'm going to stereotype. I sat down one time just studying fatherhood, and I wrote down who I thought were the 10 best fathers I knew because I wanted to learn from them. I was shocked. 9 of them were black. Friends of mine, mostly athletes, but they were, I felt 9 of the 10 best fathers I knew were black. I think the black African race has a gift for family. And some of the best fathers, and listen, this is the one place, the one office that we hold jointly with the Father in heaven. Something here, but what does Satan do? You know, if a city has a call-in or a church has a call-in, he will do everything he can to inflict them with the opposite nature. Isn't that true? I think we're going to see a people group teach us about family that the devil did everything he could to destroy those families.
That's definitely a good word. When you think about generational upheavals that happen if you understood my journey, you understand how mm-hmm. things are today. You know, and I'm coming from, you know, many years in ministry, many years in law enforcement, and working very specifically with a father-son relationship for over 10 years with the Next Step Outback Fathers and Sons Camping Trust, which you can see, by the way, right now. There's pictures of all that 10 years of of pictures at VFNTV.com. Just go to that banner down at the bottom and click on that. But the, you know, as I traveled from house to house, minister from house to house, I noticed the fact that in statistics that we found out, 70% of African American children are born into fatherless homes. But when you see the history before, you know, the Revolutionary War, it was already happening. This letter in Jamestown, they're talking about breaking the family up. You know, just the fact of, you know, selling one of your family members and dividing you up, and that takes on a mindset. Takes on a spirit of itself, and it's outside the gospel of Jesus Christ and the healing of God. And so generations later, you know, thank God that, you know, those that paid the price over the years, and that movie, The Help, watching it on ClearPlay, watch it on ClearPlay. I encourage you to, you know, anything we recommend, watch it on ClearPlay. But it gives you a great mindset, because that was the transitional generation that so many mothers, African-American mothers, had to be maids in white households to be able to get their children into college to be able to do it. They're like the transitional generation, which should have never been that way. But that's the reality. That's the history of America. And we're talking the 60s. We weren't talking like that's in right. 1812 or something. And Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who was a great example, and I believe an apostle, the Lord that put the word out, you know, I'm only holding you to what's written on the papers, is what he's talking about, which is the original tenet of this nation, which is the Constitution, which says that all of us are created equal and that all of our rights come from God. And what Dr. King was saying again and again, biblically, he was saying, we're all of God's children. And that nobody should judge anybody off of the color of their skin. Because think about it. I mean, no matter what race you are, you know, people of your race, that the color of their skin does not determine their intelligence or their ignorance. I mean, it's just, they are who they are. Look beyond. And secondly, there's a great treasure beyond the epidermis, you know, right. The skin color. And you're missing out on that. And but you can see how these things connect, that everything waged war against the African-American family. But you had Dr. King, for example, that came up and began to just stand up and said, you know, it's enough. When a man has enough. And you read some of his books, some of his speeches, and you hear other people kind of, you know, taking his narrative, but you can read his narrative. And he was obviously, you know, just a lover of God and lover of America. He said this would not be in any other country, but the fact it would work in America. And he believed, and he said again and again, that despite the evil folks that are held captive by this evil spirit, there's more good people with good hearts in America. And he was right. When they saw on television what was taking place with these dogs and all this coming against the African-American students and the things that were going on, America reacted and said, this is not going to happen anymore. You know, talking about that, you know, what Rick Joyner was saying out of Morningstar, what some of the things that were happening on this panel, we're going to talk more specifically about this panel in tomorrow's program. Make sure you catch tomorrow's program. But and we'll have excerpts, hopefully, get a chance for you to hear it and make it available to you. But what God laid on my heart in the way back when is that he is going to bring about a third great awakening in America through the African-American people. Remember me talking about that, you know, way back when. Yeah. Rick Joyner even writes about it. He writes about it early on in his writings that, you know, it's the African-American that are going to bring to pass this third great awakening. And what we're seeing right now, I'm personally seeing the stirring of, and the hunger and the willingness And then God beginning to even, you know, like I said, that, you know, God's talking about a second Azusa Street, and he's having a South African pastor call me. And then he sends, you know, Apostle Isaiah to the Gulf Coast. And he's here on VFN TV. You can watch. You got to listen to what he said, because he's confirming exactly what's going on. And so he is moving from Nigeria to live in the Gulf Coast so that he can be here to go up and down the Gulf Coast preaching the glory of God and talking about, you know, we have to stir our hearts for prayer, because in prayer then God's going to move. Mm-hmm. And it's just happening. It's happening. And but we have to be ready for it. We have to be ready for everything that God's going to do. And what to me, from what I'm beginning to see, it's just all of us. You know, it's just all of us, and it's going to take all of us. If you've got to hear the Lighthouse Prophecy, hopefully they make that a related to this particular, go to the VFN Torch. When you're seeing this program, they'll have links at the bottom of that that has the Lighthouse Prophecy. And it's not just the prophecy by itself, but we have in it interjected, since we are where the Lighthouse Prophecy is, you know, the things that actually happen, you know, the vandals and all the different things that took place. And and how God is going to have these leaderships, and it's going to be a large number of a cabinet, if you would, of leaders that can minister to how many people at one time?
Several hundred thousand
at one time. And I don't know if it's a couple hundred.
700.
700 ministers, you know, people that God's anointed to be able to come in this region to be able to do it. So we have to be wide open for what God's doing, because it's going to take for a worldwide move of God, you know, and a glory zone, that we got to be ready for this. And you don't want to miss it. You just want to be able to serve. You don't want to think it's about you. I mean, if all of a sudden, you know, somebody gets healed in your church or your ministry, you know, don't make your place the epicenter. Just begin to just praise God and just say glory. The whole thing is not about everybody piling in your building or your place, your meeting place. It's to begin to have everybody begin to go out and spread the glory in the zone. You know what I'm saying? Because it's going to be everywhere.
That's right.
And we're just seeing another that...
It's going to be huge.
Yeah.
It'll be huge.
Yeah, some of the leaders I'm talking to said it's like you just see, you know, little fires popping up all over the Gulf Coast. And it's exciting. I think the big release, like I was saying, one of the big releases is unity around the glory of God, but will happen with repentance. And unity looks like, it looks like, you know, Lent's gatherings, our gatherings.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it just, if it doesn't matter, if you have, if ever how the leadership is, and for example, you know, you can be a pastor, but you have a deacon board council or something around you that feels differently than you, that will radiate through your body, and there will be walls and strongholds set up in the spiritual realm that will prevent people from even considering coming to your place, because what that second heaven spirit saying is that you're not welcome here. Mm-hmm. I mean, people might not be articulating it, but you found out when, you know, you're walking up to the church and they thought you were actually passing by and not going in. Some instances some people had. We have a story here, we'll make it related, but that a man that had been in a church in the Gulf Coast area for 5 years, an African American man, he's kind of stands out, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
He's what, about 6 foot?
Four.
6 foot four, 180 pounds.
Well, no.
He's a large guy. And he'd been there for 5 years, praising God, worshiping God, falling down under the power of God, all by everybody together, right? And particularly by this particular lady that works in at the church.
And if he falls, you would know it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a great guy. We actually have a story. You can actually catch it. Go to the VFN Torch and catch it, maybe a related link to this. But imagine, so he's in the parking lot. He's a prayer. He prays. So he's in the parking lot one day, and he's praying of the church that he goes to, that he's a member of, that, and the lady that is he worshiped beside for years is in the office. So here she is in the office, you know, doing her job, and he's in the parking lot doing the Father's business too, praying. And so she looks in the parking lot and she sees him, and she calls the police on him. She called the police on a member of her own church. She's white, he's black, and her judgment on him was that he's trying to break into cars. Well, this is somebody that they prayed side by side together. They worshiped together, you know, and he had no issues. But all of a sudden, he's got the police coming out. And the police officer comes out, and I thank God for all the law enforcement that came out there with us for 10 years.
Yeah.
With the Next Step Outback Father and Son camping trips, mm-hmm. because this happened to be one of the officers that helped us with all the different young boys, fatherless and fathered boys, and you know, just powerful time. But he recognized this now young man. Mm-hmm. And so the officer gets out and goes, oh, and he calls him by his name. And they recognized each other. But you know what unified them in the wilderness? It was the glory of God.
That's right.
God just showed up powerfully. And so this officer who hadn't seen this man in a few years recognized him, but a lady who worshiped beside him for 5 years called the police on him because she assumed he was a criminal. We got issues, but we can get past this, but we got to talk about that. Mm-hmm. We got to let down all of our no golden calves, all that stuff's got to go.
Right.
And it's got to say, you know what? Don't we want God? We want the glory of God to be poured out across our nation. I'm beginning to see the seeds of a national move of God. We are going to have this conversation, whether you notice we're beginning to have it because the nation's being stirred over it, but yeah. This church is the one that can have it. And a resolution comes because it's at the cross. It's where at the cross of Jesus where God begins to heal all wounds and bring us into relationship. He makes the two one at the cross.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.